Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What it is, welcome to Wise Men. This is Tyrus here. A-Rise back in the studio, two-time NWA and World Heavyweight Champion and NWA 74, Victor Trevor Murdoch's with us today.
And thank you, sir. Thank you.
Aaron. And then later on, EC3 will be joining us again. He has a special guest. So, cool. But before we go into that, Trevor and A-Rise, I'm glad you're here. We've got to do something with Aaron.
Okay. Well, no, man, it was just food poisoning last week. Everything's fine.
No, I heard about this.
Yeah, he dropped us for a different party, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it was. I fall victim to uncooked chicken.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I don't believe that for one second.
We're not over anymore, boys. We're not over.
Yeah, he's obviously he's working on other things.
Uncooked chicken, it was an awful thing, but I'm happy to announce that it's behind me. And didn't get picked up, huh?
Didn't get picked up, huh? The audition didn't work out.
Hey, you win some, you lose some.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
I'm just in the same boat.
So how is everyone doing today?
Oh, we're doing great. But whenever I get a yes, sir, I know like, yeah, he tried to f*** us. He tried to screw us over. It didn't work out. So he's back. He's back for till the next best thing comes along.
No, that was legitimately.
You know, the term for you in the 50s would be floozy. That's what you are. You are a floozy.
No.
Yeah, you drop us like a bad habit in a second.
Guns, you guys are all proven friends over the years, and I'm
some of us are
riding until it goes down, or I'm kicked off.
Yeah. Or you find a lifeboat.
Well, hey, you know what? We haven't seen any, so let's not get our hopes up.
Yeah. Oh.
Keeping it real.
So Aaron, are you retired or not?
Oh God! You're seriously doing
this? Yeah. I'm doing this.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Why are you managing? You don't care about people. Why are you managing?
Tyrus just walked out the door and just booted you right in the chest.
Yeah, I'd like to know too, coming from a guy who's trying desperately to get himself out of retirement here. Are you?
Well, hey, brother, if you need a manager, you just
okay. Now we're talking.
But as a matter of fact, I think you'd be an excellent client.
Okay, because I've been at this now. I'm training. I'm trying to get myself in shape.
You hit a drop kick. It took 2 days.
That's what I'm saying though. Yeah. But that was real. I was like,
it was
okay,
beautiful. Yeah. So Aaron, what's with the manager thing? I feel like you're using these guys to just get yourself a title shot or something.
Well, you know that could be the case, but here's what's going on. Like with every athlete, we had the conversation about 3 weeks ago, or maybe it was a month ago, about the Flair last match. Like, I'm at a point in my career, and not that I'm even close to what Ric Flair was in the ring, but it was presented to me that, hey, you should manage. And personally, right, like in a subjective business like pro wrestling, where I have, and again, I'm not trying to sound funny now, I'm actually being serious for a second, where people have said, oh, you're this, you're that, you should be here, you should be the champion, you should be the top heel, you should be whatever. I never quite got that from the office, right, or the bosses, for whatever reason, one reason or another. And I'm not blaming external factors, right? I mean, people can say one thing and, you know, reality is a different situation. My thing was, though, I've always been able to kind of get the crowd to do exactly what I want them to do when I want them to do it. And no known enemies that I've known of. And it was just frustrating. So I was like, well, is this manager thing, like when it was presented to me, is this just a cop out? Is this saying that, like, okay, I'm not what I was in the ring? And that's a very, very hard thing. And that was the first time in my career when I was forced to look at that. And, you know, like with all of us, we have to kind of honestly assess ourselves. And that's kind of what I'm doing right now.
You know what I thought, too, Aaron, you always had a kind of a gift to speak. right? You know, your promos are extremely good, as well as your ring work. And sometimes I thought, like, those positions are, you kind of end up in one of those positions when you can speak, a manager. You know what I mean? Did you ever feel that way? Like, yeah. I remember when I was coming at NXT, people were like, well, you know, like, you haven't been in the business that long. Your ring work needs to improve a little bit, but you're really good on a microphone. We like that, so we're gonna put you with Miz. You know what I mean? And we're going to let you be a manager. But I don't know. You know, I don't know. It's like a double-edged sword, right? Because you don't want to get caught in that position either for the rest of your career. But, you know, there's
well, yeah. And Aaron's got the curse of being really good at his job.
Right.
So at times, promoters tend to see him as, all right, this guy could really, he could be a world champion, but he could also take this other guy that I've been trying to get over and make him the star I need him to be. And that sucks sometimes, because when you're that talented, you tend to get put in the spots where you're constantly having to build up people.
Right.
And so I kind of understand Aaron's frustration, the fact of like, hey, it's, you know, should be my time. And when you're good at your job, Aaron, it can be a blessing and a curse.
I have a completely different take on it, and it's going to be completely harsh. But I only know how to be one way with my friends. Aaron's too nice. Aaron never says no. Aaron never stands up for himself, and a lot of times I think that he will play a role trying to help out at his own expense, and it's now coming back to haunt him, because Aaron can make it sound like he'll do anything for the business. And and we've seen his career, he's done that. But when has Aaron ever said, it's my time? When have any of us heard, like, hey, you know what? You guys, catch me if you can. No, it's, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And then his entire WWE career was making everyone else happy.
Right.
Mizdow, Sandow, they were all about doing what was asked of him, and a lot of times he would volunteer it. But I'm just saying that I think you're in a position now where you need to be selfish. For the first time in your career, you need to be selfish. And, you know, being
in
a manager. We know who selfish are. He's not one of them. Okay.
Right.
But
that's right.
You know, he's not one of them, but there could be two extremes. You don't have to be CM Punk, but you don't necessarily have to be
right
Aaron either, who'll be like, I'll do whatever you want, boss, because that guy's not a problem.
Right.
You don't have to worry about that guy leaving, because you'll say, hey, I need you to get these guys over, and he'll do it at a high level and he'll never complain.
Right.
The guy who's less talented, but talented enough to where you need him, complains. So you're like, you know what? I've got to keep him in the title picture.
Yeah.
Because Aaron won't rock the boat. And I think the frustration is, and I'm just, hey, this is just my opinion. You can tell me I'm wrong, whatever, but I've known him for a long time. And
no, we can be honest with each other.
And I think
grown-ass men.
I think that's what holds Aaron back. I think Aaron is just too affirmable. And sometimes I'm just waiting for one day where he says, follow that motherfucker. It's my time.
Yeah, there almost is too, like, a space in professional wrestling where you grow up and you want to do what you're told, right?
Yeah.
And I learned that when I was a kid. Show up, go to school, do what you're told. That makes you good. But there is a space in professional wrestling where you do have to be selfish.
You have to take a stand
to make it to one of those positions. But
provided you can back it up.
Right, correct.
This isn't some jackass saying, oh, they were fine with my holes. This is a guy who can go.
Right.
Who's saying, like,
yeah, that's.
I'll back it up. There's a difference.
If you push for it, you better be able to come through.
I want
with
the
it.
Brass yep. ring, but yep. I got no fingers. Then put your hand down. But this is a dude who can go.
Yeah.
Who needs to say, you know what? I'm going to do it whether you like it or not. And you know, I'm not going to brag. But when I got the TV title, I was like, I'm going to make this title so loud you have no choice but to recognize it. Yeah. It wasn't. They didn't write one thing for me with the television championship. Not one thing. You know, and I got selfish, not in a way, but I got selfish, and Trevor got selfish.
Mm-hmm.
So when is Aaron going to get selfish? You could manage anyone, anytime, any place. But here's the problem. The guy you're wrestling, if you had a thing where if I whoop Aaron's guy's ass, I get 5 minutes alone with Aaron. How does that work? because he's 6'4".
Right.
And can go. Like, yeah, he's not J.J. Dillon where he's a bag. You know, he's not. J.J. was tall and he was a wrestler, but he wasn't. He looked like an older manager. You know, Paul Ellering would be the closest thing to Aaron is now as a manager because Paul was just as jacked as the Road Warriors. And he was not an easy
ass. Yeah, that was crazy.
Aaron, did you ever question this in your mind that, you know, you managed The Miz, I managed The Miz, but we were both like a lot bigger than him, and a lot stronger than him. And I love him, and I love him. Better talkers than him, though. That's interesting, though, right? Maybe we weren't that selfish, though. Maybe we needed to be more selfish. I don't
Neither one of you would ever go out.
I love you, Miz, but you know, I'm just telling the truth over here.
Miz has made a career. Yeah. Nobody can take anything away from Miz, period. But just keeping it real, neither one of you, Miz Dow and A-Rod, would ever go out there and say, I'm taking the spot tonight, bro. Good luck.
Right.
But he would.
Well, to a degree, I would. And I'm being honest, where the Mizdow thing, like one of the things, and by the way, this is a very healthy conversation. I wasn't expecting it. Thank you all.
Yeah.
I don't want you. Thanks.
I have prided myself. Yeah, thanks. And when I'm giving marching orders, right, like whatever the script is, and in WWE, I was given some garbage, okay, some absolute garbage by people who had no business writing or getting – even like a paycheck.
Yeah, you go from a soap opera writer to a wrestling writer. It's a stretch. I'm not DeMarco.
Guys who have never been in a fist fight in their life telling you how to do it.
Right, yeah.
Ever. And
everyone knows you dance before you punch.
But no, like there is that pride of like, okay, if you hand me this garbage, like, I'm going to weave this into something that even you can't imagine, and then you won't be able to deny me. And I had to do that time and time and time again. And, like, after a while, you know, you just kind of start – you start pointing the finger at yourself, right? And I didn't know what it was. And, you know, I never once thought of, like, oh, the selfish thing. Because I'm always like, every time I go out there, if my performance does not speak for itself, and when I come to the back, be like, okay – you know, good luck getting them as loud as they were there. That's what I've like, just again, taken so much pride in. But at the end of the day, you know, has it cost me pretty much the career I should have had? And that's a real question I've had to look at. And, you know, because even now, like, there's like, I'm not even in the conversation to be like a top NWA talent. And frankly, like, there are talents that are being discussed that, in my opinion, they can't even lace my boots. I mean, they straight
That's
up.
Real.
But yeah, we agree with you.
Like, I don't know what the hell I have to do, or maybe like, is it from a marketing standpoint that I am just really good at this particular role? And, but the selfish thing, again, I'm not a I really try not to be, but you know what? I think I needed to hear that. So thank you all.
Yeah, man. I think, you know, I always thought that there was an interesting parallel with you and I, because when they put me with Miz, I thought it was a huge compliment, right? Because I believe he was Mr. Money in the Bank at the time and the United States champion. But in the back of my mind, of course, I was thinking I'm better than you. You
that's
know,
the,
I'm a,
that's the
I'm,
ball
a
player
better,
in you.
I'm a better that's, talker than you. I'm taller than you. I'm better looking than you, Miz. You know what I mean?
You're dressed way better.
I was dressed way better. I was, you know, I remember the varsity villain. I was wearing a varsity jacket. And then and you know, I'm grateful. I was very grateful for the opportunity, right? Because Miz was a shining rising star. But they said, well, why don't you wear Miz's t-shirt? And I said, well, you know, but that's Miz. You know, I kind of wanted to be me. Because that was like the years of development that I had put into that character. And yeah, you know, I'm grateful it all worked out and all that stuff. But I think, you know, I never spoke, right? You know what I mean? There's like a space in professional wrestling where, and I think it's different than any other business where you really have to, you know, you have to, if you believe in yourself, speak up, but then you got to be ready to back it up. And was I ready to back it up at the time? Who knows? You know? That's the thing.
And here's the thing. That environment doesn't breed being able to speak up at times.
Right.
And you guys know as well as I do, when you do speak up, there are people out there that will try to make your job even harder.
Right.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? To not help you be successful. I think that's one of the positive things about NWA is the fact that there's no one holding anybody back.
If we were all in the WWE right now, and decided to go into business ourselves. Real quick, because our guests are here, but real quick. So Funkasaurus was always supposed to wear red, and I hated the color red. Hated it.
And so, sometimes it could be that simple, right?
But it was Vince liked red, right? And one day I just said, you know what? I don't like wearing red. I went out and got a plethora, I'm talking plethora of different colored tracksuits and made and just strolled out one night on Raw with navy blue on and then got away with it. And then we're at a pay-per-view with me and Dolph, and I strolled out with black, with gold, and in the ref's ear was, who the hell told him to change his color? And I remember John Cohn said, who told you to change your color? And I said, I did.
Yep.
And he said, he did not want to repeat that. And you take a chance, and sometimes then you are punished for it. But I was like, you know what? I did not like looking like the Kool-Aid man. I don't give a damn. I don't look like a big ass apple. Red is not flattering for big guys ever. So
you're standing up for your creative freedom as an artist
in a dictatorship. That's a problem. Right. It's a mom and pop dictatorship
for changing a color.
If I want your ass in red, your big ass better be in red. Period. I didn't say fuchsia, orange, magenta. I said Kool-Aid red.
And you mean no other color ever.
And
no.
I remember poor John Laurinaitis coming out going, kid, do you have your red with you? And I looked at him like a defiant 4-year-old with my arms crossed and said, no, I do not. Yeah. He says, what colors do you have with you? I have green, blue, and black, sir.
Yeah.
And he was like, what if you wore a bunch of different colors? They still won't make red, boss, but whatever you want me to do.
Right.
But I know what I'm not doing.
Right.
Send in the clowns because I'm not doing it. We'll be back with much more after this. Now, if I could get real with you for a second. Now, listen. When I turned 40, I started to notice a little decline in my aggressiveness in the gym, and I started to feel the effects of aging and feeling a little inadequate. So Nugenix came along and gave me a free bottle, and I tried it, and I noticed results immediately. I just felt stronger, more confident. You started seeing results back in the gym. You got to try that Nugenix Total T. I swear by it. It is phenomenal. Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Tesnor will help you turn back the clock and re-energize your life. Prove it to yourself. Try Nugenix Total T before you buy. There's nothing to lose and everything to gain. New energy, muscle, drive, and even more passion. Get your complimentary sample when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Tyrus, and that's T-Y-R-U-S. Now get your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Tyrus. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, the newest and most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you lose fat fast and get lean fast. Absolutely free. Text 231-231 and enter keyword Tyrus. Text 231-231 and enter the keyword Tyrus.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply. Number one doctor recommended brand by primary care physicians based on an independent survey conducted by IQVIA 2022.
All right, speaking of clowns, he debuted last week and now an official member of the Wise Men, who knows a little bit of something about going into business for yourself, good side and bad side. Our very own EC3. EC3, welcome back. Thanks for joining us again.
I thought you were stunning and ravishing in red.
Yes, yes.
Thank you. Oh, so dapper. Yeah, thank you for, I mean, the plug and the immediate promotion to a wise man. I can't believe it. I didn't expect to be here this soon. You know, if this was anywhere but the three wise men, Tyrus' show, and the NWA brethren, I would have been buried, spit on.
Oh, yeah. And, no.
Your business a little different here.
You're safe in this environment.
Hey, he even brought a guest with him. That's how over he is with us.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? So
can I intro this fine, outstanding gentleman, this hero, this liaison to the world of streaming content and professional wrestling. And may I add, he is a suitor to one day be a part of NWA in broadcasting region. So maybe he can play the game really well with us top guys. But this is my friend and the producer and the president of Pro Wrestling TV, Brandon Blackburn, who has a crazy, crazy, crazy resume.
Oh, I got to hear this resume.
Hello, hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Let me first say to my wife, the most important thing on my resume tonight will be the pop I'm going to get saying I'm with the star of cable's number one late night talk show. So thanks for having me, Tyrus.
That's me, Aaron. To the rest of the crew. Just in case Aaron was confused.
Jesus.
Aaron and Trevor were confused.
Oh, God. Can't shine this guy up anymore here.
Hey, you know what, though? Speaking of Stalker, every time I'm on TV, I get a Trevor. So Trevor's supporting me big time. I got a text today. Every time I'm doing a TV.
I'm in the studio.
Yeah, but I'm saying I get a quick text, you know, because but I know it's a reminder I beat you. So I know what it is. You know, I know exactly what it is. But it sounds nice for a second. And then, you know, it's always like hashtag 74. Hashtag 74. But, you know, I appreciate the love. Thank you very much. But welcome. So when EC3 said interesting resume, so we got to know. Obviously, what amazes me about a lot of people in the wrestling business is where they come from. There's so many different, it's so diverse, like their backgrounds and stuff. So how did you come to find yourself in this crazy world of wrestling?
Well, I've been a lifelong wrestling fan. So I grew up, you know, at the height of, I mean, I was a teenager in my high school years at the height of the Monday Night Wars. And wrestling has always been my escape. So for me, it was, you know, WCW at the time, then WWF. I grew up in Florida, so, you know, FCW, saw some of that throughout my childhood. And then my first career, I was a CIA officer. So I was undercover doing operations in places like Iraq and Afghanistan. And the few hours that I would get to myself to just decompress and unwind, wrestling continued to be my escape. You know, we had it on the bases overseas. It's called Armed Forces Network. I think everyone in wrestling knows how the, you know, relationship and the appreciation by military and our service members that you guys do as an industry and a community for that world is always recognized. And so it's very much, you know, a part of the escape in a world like that for me. I got out of that first career. I got into TV producing, and my first real big credit and gig was on a show called Live PD, which some of you may have heard of. It was, you know, the number one show on reality or number one reality show on cable at the time. And then it was
every redneck knows that show, brother. Y'all gotta watch this.
You got to make sure you don't see a family member if you got to.
He's not the only one.
How'd we go to that? Come on.
You kind of went there. You know, I do on the only show I do on Fox Nation is Geraldo Rivera's, because they brought back Cops. And so I've done quite a few. And the reason why they brought it back was, in fact, because of that. And I covered it. I believe I spoke on it on Gutfeld. Like, it was the attack on police as we know it has been absolutely insane. And the ramifications has basically is destroying society as we know it. I mean, it's the fastest way.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, all it takes is inflation and crime, honestly. Those are the two things. What brought down Rome? Inflation and crime. So, and with no one there to stop the worst parts of our society, it don't take long. It really doesn't. So the show was great. There was a reason why everybody was watching it. People like to see police work. They like to see police work done right. The media only shows us when something goes bad, and even then it's only a segment of a video that an officer's entire life can be condemned with. And don't get me wrong, I've been on the wrong side of it. There's some socks with badges, straight up. But they are vastly outnumbered, and you can have two thoughts on the same subject. And while I will hate the cop who messed with me for the rest of my life, I love the 99% others yep. that had my back, that when I was stuck on the side of the road at midnight, helped me change the tire. When I was in a horrible fight with my girlfriend, were able to be the voice of reason to help me get out of there. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You know, help me find the guy who stole my bag, like all that kind of stuff. So you can have a bad experience and it still be overall a positive thing. And then you take something away that's positive because for no other reason than for bots on Twitter. And I think that's what we're finding out. More people, especially... if you are, and not just minorities, but if you are living in a below poverty neighborhood, your saving grace is having law enforcement, and that's the group that's getting hurt the most, which is ironic because supposedly this is supposed to help us, and it clearly did not and is not.
What an esoteric speech! That was awesome.
Yeah, I have to pick up the mic. Just dropped it.
I have to go look up the definition of esoteric. If you'll just give me a minute. Yes.
Yeah. See, I told you guys. I told you guys. This is feeding you guys money. I told you guys.
It's out of my pay range, there, bro.
That esoteric is that which is not known to the vast majority or the common group of people. Like, so it's any kind of niche thing like that can be esoteric, you know, much like you, sir, who was serving our country in the Central Intelligence Agency. There were certain things that is known to only your organization. So therefore, that would be esoteric compared to people not in your organization.
Ladies and gentlemen, Damian Sandow.
And he's always there. He's always there in that space, too. For
because he's
beautiful.
A smart ass. Yeah. He's a know-it-all. That's what he is.
That is the perfect definition of esoteric.
So one of the guests that is a regular on the Gutfeld show is Mike Baker, and he's a former CIA agent, and he's one of my favorite people. And his stories are always vague for a reason because there's a certain code and a brotherhood there that I respect. And if you didn't serve, it's honestly none of your damn business. But he was on that front line. So you go from what I would consider an extreme high stress level job. And then you start getting into the wrestling business. How was it such a shocking transition? Or when you see guys that have basically PTSD from being in the wrestling business, how much do you laugh to yourself? Like, you have no idea what real pain is.
Real fast, let me jump in before Brandon. I think what he thought he was getting into and what he did, he's probably like, I kind of miss the bad guys in the
Al-Qaeda.
These terrorists at least had some honor and some dignity.
No, listen, the truth is, I tell people I work now for the two most ass backward industries there are, the federal government and show business / pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
You ain't lying, brother.
Edge of the spectrum there.
Yeah, I've seen the characters in both. But the truth is, we've been very fortunate since we started. And I got into this. So, you know, the live PD cancellation really opened my eyes to, hey, it's feast or famine if you're just going to be at the whim of these big studios and networks who, you know, put their finger in the air to see which way the wind's blowing about what they're going to do with your projects and your story. So that led me to see the need to take ownership in what I was doing and started my own media company that creates, now we create channels. It's called Over the Top TV. So you have a smart TV, you know, all these fast digital channels that you don't have to pay for, and streaming services are part of that world. And then from there, I just looked around and said, you know what? Pro wrestling is primed to have a network that is 100% dedicated to it, in the same way that the NFL has its NFL network, baseball, the NBA, and so forth. That was missing to me. And there's so much great in-ring action going on outside of the, you know, the big two of WWE and AEW, if we're allowed to say those letters.
Oh, you say whatever you want
podcast
on this show. Yeah, we don't hate anybody. Here's the deal, man. We don't hate. We don't care.
Exactly.
It's not – none of us – everyone here in this room has been fired. Some of us multiple times, and we don't, it's like a badge of honor, but, we don't where we eat, and we're glad everyone's making money. Yeah. The more wrestling companies, the better it is for everybody. And we don't really spend too much time. I mean, we got to deal with Aaron. So
we had about a 15-minute therapy session. So I apologize to both of you.
Yeah.
You know, both, So, you know, but it was better. I'm doing much better now, and thank you for your concern.
Yeah. The more companies too that are making money, the big two that are following kind of one train of thought is even better, because right. what we're doing with NWA, what PWTV and CYN are doing is providing something different. And, you know, that's what's going to be awesome about merging these things together, working together. But like, definitely Uncle Billy with his vision, staying true to it and not giving in to what the small vocal minority that you talk about, like the Twitter people, seeing his vision through, creating it with guys like you, like the more the merrier, because the more the merrier, the different, more different we can be.
And it's just better.
Amen. I mean,
it's the slow wrestling. If you think you're going too fast, slow down. And, that is always something. And life is kind of the same way. When you're building something, when you're choosing to be different, it's not always going to be easy. You're going to, and we, entertainment is the most self-conscious business in the world. Anything different has to be struck down immediately.
Right.
Because it's a challenge, you know, and paranoia and insecurity, you know, you think for as much as guys work out in wrestling, they'd be a little more secure.
Confident.
But, yeah, but they're just not, because right. a lot of them are full of shit. So, you know, and yep. so they yep. love to go after anything new. And in this case, NWA is not reinventing the wheel. We're just going back to what works. Right. There was a reason why they could have Superstation, TBS, and Georgia Championship Wrestling on for 2 hours, and everybody stayed watching, because everybody mm-hmm. told a damn story. Michael Hayes mm-hmm. and Terry Gordy never were world champions in WCW, but everyone wanted to know what was going on with them. You know, everyone told stories. Everybody was physical, you know, and you had commentators that called the match. They didn't call what they were trying to sell. I mean, that was right. one of the things yeah. that I thought, that especially the big events, although I will give Tony Schiavone and Jim Ross credit, is they're kind of they're going back to that. But I just remember, even as a few times I got to sit at the table, and I believe I was we were like number one contenders for the tag team championship, and I think we were watching primetime players were taking on one of the tag teams we were feuding with. I think it was TJ and Justin Gabriel or something like that.
Right, right.
And we were watching the match, right? And I was talking about how TJ's excellence of execution, he had educated feet or whatever, and I kept getting basically shut down to talk about the pay-per-view. And I just thought to myself...
This is when you were commentating at WWE, right?
Yeah, yeah. yeah. yeah right. And I just yep. thought to myself, like, why can't we just promote these guys in the ring working their ass off?
Right.
You know, but again, this yeah. is coming from a guy who's a wrestling fan, just like yourself, that grew everything. Everyone here grew up watching it.
Yeah.
And when you don't always see like, well, we have to get so many plugs in for the sponsors at the expense of the story, because if the guys calling it aren't involved, how do you expect the fans to, because that's been the biggest disconnect to me. And I think the one thing the NWA has brought back, WWE fans think they can kick the ass of most of the WWE guys on the roster. Right. Like they think yeah. they are one spot away from being in the ring. And that mm-hmm. whose fault is that?
Right.
Guys were just, there was smaller guys in WCW back in the day, but you had announcers made it sound like they were the most dangerous things on 2 feet. They knew every move. They could beat you nine ways. I mean, Dean Malenko was feared not because he wasn't 6'4", because he was the man of 1,000 holes.
Right.
He could bend you backwards. Arn Anderson, all those guys were, yes. they put over their excellence and their technique and their toughness, and no one questioned it. And then you get a guy like Bam Bam Terry Gordy, they've got a line, as we like to call a hooker, who would slide out and put your ass 9 feet back in your seat. So, I mean, and, you know, that's what one of my roles yeah. are at the NWA, is because when I was whooping Trevor's ass up and down outside the ring, no one thought once about it.
Oh,
no one thought yeah. once about it, because that we're bigger than life. And that's what we're trying to get back to.
Yeah.
And back then, you know, like, I grew up too, when the storylines got a chance to breathe, you know,
yep.
and you let it play out, and people were invested in it in a way that it wasn't about a quick pop, and they were, you know, just giving you a shot of something. They were putting it in the decanter and letting it breathe before you got to, you know, drink it nice and smooth. And I want to get back to that with the programming that we put on our network in particular.
You know,
excellent use of the word
decanter. That's what sold. Yes. But that's what sold. That's what made all of us fans. Was the fact that we had stories that we could get into that literally would carry on for 5 and 6 months. Like you would get personally invested into it.
And it works. Yes. So
guys,
not to,
moreover, not everybody was over back then.
Not to put Trevor over any more than he needs to, or I've done. thank you very much. When him and I were the main event in St. Louis, there were individuals that were like, no one's going to buy a ticket, you know? We told a story with no TV because it just, the way it worked out, went down and I was in, and we told a story through a podcast, some interviews, I think I mentioned his name every night on Fox News.
You did.
But we told a story. And what my favorite, and even at one point, and I'm just going to keep it real because that's what we do here. Hell. Trevor and I agreed not to get like with each other, right? Like we got to work together, even though when that bell rings, I'm coming for you. At one point, I said to him, I sent a snapshot of seats filling up and I sent it to him. And I said, hey, bro, it's filling up. And he sent back to me. He was like, you know, the Blues aren't bought seats right. And I said to him, you don't get it. We were up 50 more seats in a week than we were the week before. And it's growing and it's going to keep growing. And then I remember as we were sitting there on Saturday and they were like, it's sold out. We don't have any more tickets to comp. And I turned and looked at him and I said, told you. And the only thing,
and what I say as a man, I said, you're right.
You were right.
You were right.
And here's the cold part. Not only did this mother get to keep his title, he woke up in the morning with a blue check. So you're
Now we're talking, though.
Yes.
Now we're talking. That's over.
So Facebook, Facebook realized it took me.
That's right.
Took me getting my ass whipped by Tyrus to get a blue check on Facebook, not the 10,000 pictures of me and my family.
And was I'm proud to it, say there was no hurricanranas in our match. There was no leap off the over, which EC3 hates. I did not give him three pile drivers and a power bomb, although if I could have, I would have, but he was slippery when he was sweaty. But
a hell of a bump by Jeezy, though, in the beginning.
Poor Jeezy. Give that man a raise.
Dude.
But the point is, the formula works. The formula works. Doesn't matter who you are, but if you listen to Twitter, if you listen to some guy who's mad he never made it, or a guy who thought he was way over than he was, if you listen to that noise, you're just never going to grow. You know, and in this business, you need to remember two things. You're only going to get as far as you go, and one day it's never going to love you the way you love it. Every one of us, it's going to, even guys who retire, it's forced. Don't get it twisted.
Sounds like that relationships too.
Yeah, same thing. It's a lot. Very few. Well, again, Trevor apparently has it all. He has blue checks, a rock solid marriage, and he's a 2-time NWA champion. So you mean he's winning?
Hey, yeah, things are looking good. Things are looking good in my life.
And there's also been new developments with you know who, Trevor, which I'll tell you about later. We can't talk about that.
Well, why do you bring it up in front of the boys? Now you bring it up in front of the boys. Like
Brandon is in the CIA, man. About. He's gonna figure it out.
Yeah, Brandon, we need a file on Aaron's stats.
Let me just that file's locked away, man.
Thank you. I do appreciate that.
Got but the red tape story all short, over
the love
it.
Of my life from 20 years ago has kind of like possibly maybe there's a
when are you chance. Just gonna take a stand? Damn, she's back. Possibly, maybe,
no,
sort
not,
of. That's why I want to punch you in the face all the time because just say it, man. Just say it. Yo, the love of my life is back. We're going to figure, but we're working it out. How hard was that? Quite possibly, maybe, sort of. You sound like me when I beat up the German bar at SmackDown and Dean Malenko was like, I know it was you, but he couldn't prove it. Because somebody left blood on the glass when they punched through it. And as I raised my hands, I'm not bleeding. So it couldn't have been me.
You did throw a love seat out the window with your T-shirt stuck in the cushions. So that was kind of a possibility.
But again, that could have been anybody. I had a number one selling shirt in America at the time. It could have been anybody.
Yes. But yeah, so no, that's it. And we have not actually contacted each other yet. And you know what? I am in the ghost zone. So after years, I reached out to her. I was actually with Trevor and my friend called, and there was this whole drama that, like, apparently someone caught her looking at my Instagram, and
someone caught her.
So I don't. It was just, again, not to give. Let's call her.
Hey, AC3, hear Aaron blushing?
Yes, dude, we'll call her. C.
I can literally see how red his cheeks are getting. Yes.
Well, you guys know me. I really don't like.
I don't think any of us actually know you. I don't even know if Aaron's your real name. I just don't know anymore.
It's Idol. His real name is Idol.
His real name is Idol. Yeah, he's Idol.
All right, so you know what? Moving on. That was a stupid thing to bring up. Let's talk about something else.
Okay. I thought his real name was Merriam-Webster from that definition I got a little earlier.
Oh, man. He's a comedian, too.
You are a credit to the agency.
And he brought up the first name. That's a low bar, man.
We'll be back with much more after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, should we listen? I feel like I said something on Twitter today because our dear sweet friend Phil, CM Punk's, he's had a rough couple weeks, and the latest one is that he's racist now.
Oh,
and I was like,
oh what?
Yeah, and what? I was like, this is the dumbest shit I ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he's but listen, I worked him.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be a squash match at Raw. He fought for it not to be.
Yeah.
He, you know, when I got fired, he gave me a call. Like, we were never buddies.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? All he cared about is if your work was good.
Yeah.
And if your work was good, he would come. He was there for you. You know what I'm saying? He kind of kept to himself. He's a weird guy. He's a smart ass. He's a know-it-all. Quite possibly the worst UFC fighter in the history of UFC. Yeah. He's a lot of things.
Yeah.
But he's not a racist.
Right.
Absolutely not.
And and when I hear that, it's like, go after him on stuff you can go after him about.
Right.
You know, he's arrogant, he's angry, and I think maybe he has a right to be. That's not for me to say here and there, but to throw that on him.
Plenty of material.
Yeah, to throw that on him really makes me go, then you don't have an argument.
Right.
Because to say that to him, one, you're obviously trying to take his career away from him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah, that's
you know, and
the truth is, he isn't.
He isn't.
So
he isn't. You could be you could be the color of a baboon's ass.
Right.
If you have a bad match, he's going to talk about you.
Yeah.
And if you have a good match, he's going to put you over.
Right.
Because all he really cares about is the wrestling. Does that make him a good human being? Probably not.
Right.
But that doesn't. He's not racist.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just unbelievable to me that they go that route. There's a lot of things about him that you don't have to like.
And two, and you know, it's his. Look, sometimes it's his job to not be liked.
Yeah,
you know. So and that's another one. But yeah,
honestly, like I do feel I need to speak up here. I know him fairly well, and I mean, I was a lot closer with him back in the day. But we've always maintained, and I call it a casual friendship.
Yeah, right? That's what I would say it was. Yeah. It was a casual friendship. I didn't go have Pepsis with him. In Chicago, but
well, you're always a Sunkist guy. I mean,
yeah,
Jesus,
he misted me one time. He green misted me.
Yeah,
CM Punk. I remember. Well, I remember. I was sorry. Walking down the hallway, whatever that mist was, and then he had everybody turn and laugh at me, and I was like, you know what?
Just randomly misted you.
So he apparently hates green aliens from Star Trek. So I guess we could hold him on that one. Thanks a lot, A-Rice.
Yeah.
But that was
I worked with Punk before he got to WWE down in IWA Mid South, and there was never inclination of anything like that, and he was just as arrogant and focused on having the best match of the night as he is now.
Yeah. Again,
well, can I ask you guys as a fan, you know, because you guys have talked about Twitter and the effect it's had on the industry, but this seems like an example too where, you know, 20 years ago this stuff wasn't permeating almost on a daily basis. Right. Pro wrestling, people were able to just escape and enjoy wrestling for what it's meant to be. So, and I think you guys have all been around long enough where you've seen it evolve through the social media, you know, the rise of and prevalence of social media. So what's your take on that? It's got to be tough to navigate.
No, nothing's been worse for wrestling than social media.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, no.
I mean, and truth be told, I think social media is not great for much. You know, well, in my opinion, I think it's an experiment. You know, it was something that was developed and it was a kind of a social experiment. And I pray to God that it finds its place, you know,
yeah, because it's try much. Having a house show without the internet.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's ruined the magic.
Yeah.
Let's just be real. And mm-hmm. it has forced guys to we've had a changing to where we've had professional stuntmen more than we've had storytellers. Yeah. Because, you know, if I can do 6 or 7 ridiculously high-risk, crazy moves in a match every night until my back goes out or my knees blow out, they won't care about the right. story or right. working the hole because they won't say, well, he did that in Houston last week, you know,
yeah.
which I think you watch entirely too much wrestling, but which is probably a bad thing. So I think a lot of times it hurts. Internet hurts everything.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Please go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was going to say, like, to what you were all saying, like, I would argue that social media is much like any other force, like even electricity, right? It is neither good nor bad. It just is, right? When harnessed for the wrong reasons, like giving credence to people who really shouldn't have a platform and really kind of like lending itself to the opinions of the few through whatever reason, being propagated by whatever reason, it really can kind of warp things. And I think we see that right now to where, like, what you were saying about the wrestling business, yes, but also, like, with the punk thing, to where now there's actually a discussion on this man
right.
who, again,
yep.
we have a casual friendship with, right? And we say, hey, he's a lot of things. However, he is not a racist. And right. it goes back to people wanting to feel like they matter. Right. Like a Meltzer, okay? Here's my opinion of Meltzer, and I am going to go off on this right now, okay? I've never met the man. He's never given me a 5-star match, and I don't care.
Right.
But the problem is he thinks that he can actually sit there and judge and affect other people's careers right. on his the star rating. I mean, it isn't figure skating. You know, the star rating should be what kind of a pop do you get when you come through the curtain? Are you that big of a star? So it's like on behalf of everyone.
Was he ever a worker? Did he?
No.
Was he, yeah.
No.
So what?
Did he take pictures?
Has he ever had a match? Has he ever been in the ring? No. Right.
Like, I think we should go find his old pictures and give those pictures star ratings.
Let's do it. I got free time. You want to do a streaming show? The Meltzer's pictures, and I'll be like 1 star.
Yeah, let's do it.
Look at the lighting on this one.
Right.
Oh, terrible.
We're about as qualified to do that as he is to judge what we do. Right. So it's like, dude, you know what? Here's a little Steiner math equation, Mr. Yeah. Meltzer. We don't give two about your 5 stars because you're one man. And we, as wrestlers, always appeal to the largest group of people because that's who we want to attend. The most amount of people possible to sell tickets. There you go. I'll shut up.
Yeah, wow, I love
that 5-2-1.
I was selfish.
Yeah.
Go ahead, EC3.
Oh, yeah. You know, I just wanted to chime in as the only participant in this discussion to have a Meltzer 5-star match.
Oh, shit.
Oh, listen to that, Bob. Yeah. Listen to that.
That's why you're in.
You know what that 5 stars got me? Nothing. Let me tell you the story when I found out I had a 5-star match. It's a morning. I think I was hungover. I'm on the cam. I'm looking at my phone. I'm getting like these weird texts like, congrats, way to go, whatever. Somebody says, good job on the nickel. And I'm like, what is going on? And then I go over to the idiot box known as Twitter, and, you know, it was a 5-star match. And I go, cool. What's next? I got a wipe. Who cares? Nothing
right,
of that.
Right.
Certainly doesn't matter. But maybe he might be one of the greatest workers of all time because he is the one person that exploited people for money within wrestling and has never taken a bump. So maybe he's the greatest worker of all time.
It's kind of like the Emmys, fellas. Like, I'm on the number one comedy show in America, not even close, smoking everybody like joints. And And because we won't pay, because here's the thing, like Greg and Kat would be scared to go. I would be like, I would walk that aisle while they booed me and said all their and I would get up there and be like, I know what you cheer for. Your boos sound wonderful to me. Here's my Emmy. Kiss my ass. I thank no one. I thank myself. And I'm going over my time while I just stare at you guys. And then here's the best part. I've dropped the mic with the award and walk out. But we made it a participation award. No one had the balls to claim it. So they gave it to John Oliver, who had the audacity and the temerity to go after wrestling, but he had the wrong error when he did his story. He was talking about drugs and wrestling.
Oh,
and
I was
like,
brutal.
Yeah, and I was like, hey, Briz, wrong error. We're on iPads and working on other things, like, I don't know, being on Fox News. But to me, that was a bigger award because no one would take it. They gave it to the guy because HBO pays the most out of all the networks for the Emmys because you got to pay to get an Emmy. But to me, that was like a major award. That was fragile. Because that to me was no one else would take it because nobody won. Because here's the thing, we don't exist. I love the fact that none of them will take a shot at me. None of them. Because they have to acknowledge the elephant in the room who's smoking them on TV, raising their children on his moral value code, eating a meal of food at their dinner table, and they rather ignore it. They rather ignore Gutfeld than have to deal with it. And that to me is the best way to surrender. So although, and I think your 5-star match, was that with Angle? ECW?
No, that was 4.5, if I recall. I
think 4.5. Oh, you're going to watch your language.
Well, you know what? You lost it because didn't I? I was involved, so there was the half the star gone.
Yeah, that was the half point.
Meltzer didn't like me because I wouldn't do an interview with him backstage at Raw. I was like, who are you?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm a major reporter for wrestling. I was like,
You won't say a word about me now.
Yeah, it's like the smartest stupid guy. Like what? No, I'm really busy. I'm not doing an interview. You know, and it was because I just didn't want to do it. Because it's always bear traps. They always want you to say something bad about the place you work or something bad about. I think the question was something like, "Oh, what do you think about this David Ortunga stuff?" And I was like, "Hey, what does that have to do with me?"
Right.
You know, so I didn't want to do it, but you know, it was thus far. But you know, I've made a pretty good pay. I've made a pretty good career in wrestling, and maybe if I don't ever get the Meltzer approval, I'll just have to live with it. I'll probably never get an Emmy either, but I'm good with it.
I'll take the sensible portion's wife over the Dave Meltzer put over.
Yeah, getting her to pop for a match. I should get 5 stars for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because you brought me out here to lose.
I'm picturing Tyrus on the stage at the Emmys just staring.
Like, that's what it would be. I would just stare and be like, you think Will Smith was bad? Somebody say something.
The look in his face that he'd do in the locker room, I would just see it right now. Yeah, it's like this kind of
squint. Say something, Colbert. Say something.
Oh, yes. Like, Kimmel.
Yeah,
tongue on the side of his mouth.
Yeah.
Just shaking his head.
I mean, and it's sad because it should be like, hey, we're all making laughs together. That's the part that bothers me.
Yep.
Like, there's no why, because we work for a network, a different network. But at the end of the day, we're all making people laugh. Just some of us have a bigger audience. But that's fine.
Yeah, but you and Gutfeld are actually funny, man. Yeah. Colbert hasn't made me laugh ever since he pretended to be a conservative.
I loved his show on Comedy Central.
It was
I'll be
so
the first
good.
One to
it
tell you. Hilarious. I love Colbert on Comedy Central. You know,
it was awesome.
Kimmel is like their Miz. You don't get it, but he's there every year. Like he just does it at a high level.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. You don't get it, but you don't have to. Damn it, he's there.
Yep.
He's there. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right, so. There's a reason Baskin Robbins has 31 flavors, right? Because everybody, some people like Rocky Road, some want pistachio, and everybody just
those are actually
that,
my
I
two
think.
Favorites. So you just got yourself an invite back.
I was on your Wikipedia.
He's in the CIA. He knew that.
Yeah,
the CIA.
I was waiting here like
that.
Pralines and cream. I'm like, this guy's out of here. Look, this guy.
I knew red was your least favorite color, and those were your two ice cream flavors.
Yep. And
there you go.
You know, sometimes when I deal with Brandon, when we're working on pro wrestling TV and control your narrative things, and he's kind of asking questions, like gathering intel on the industry, like 80% of the time, I'm like, does he already know the answer? And he's just completely mind me?
They always know the answer.
Like, I'm like, you know, is he being real with me? I don't know.
Every time I would go into John Laurinaitis' office to answer for something I was accused of doing,
right,
I would always look at either A-Rod or whoever I was. He already knows the answer.
You didn't shake somebody's hand, right?
Yeah.
Which probably didn't even exist, right? Something like that.
Well, my case was, did you beat up the entire bar in Germany?
Oh,
and I just said,
no.
Would I get a push if I did?
I did not touch the hostess. I did not. And the naked old guy.
Yeah,
not,
you didn't
no,
like
sir.
A painting or something. I remember that.
Okay, I'll tell this, and then we gotta go.
That's the worst that I ever saw it get.
I don't know if you already have this in your CIA intel. So we get to this hotel in Germany, and I walk in.
Let me check your dossier real quick.
Yeah, and and I'm a germophobic too. So I walk into there, and there's this painting over the hotel, and it was for sale. Yeah. And it was like $5,000 American dollars. Yeah. And I walked in and I looked and I said, that's the motherfucking ugliest ass picture I ever seen in my life. Who would pay for that? Right. Didn't think anything of it. Just casual, just me, negative ass G, just tired, day 12 on the tour. And I was getting ready to go home because we had SmackDown and I was going home. I wasn't on the second half of the tour. Right. We were just on the first half. And lo and behold, I went out that night and a couple things that I was not aware of. Jaeger. I didn't know it had time release, number one. And number two, I didn't know it was something you eat after a meal of food. Never have kids at home, never have Jaeger on an empty stomach. Yeah. Two, never break the record for shots with Jaeger on an empty stomach. The number was 13. I did 15. It was like they were singing praises of me in German. It was a good night.
Right.
And then the change happened, and somebody said something, somebody did something, ass whippings were served, left, and as I walked into the hotel, the painting was staring at me is the best way I could describe it, and I didn't feel like being stared at. Allegedly, I don't know this to be true.
Yeah, but it wasn't a serious thing.
It was looking at him sideways.
Took the painting down.
It just looked at me sideways. Yeah. The painting was ripped into four pieces.
Oh.
It was broken in half and then dropped on the floor and said, no one's paying for that. And apparently, allegedly. And I got in the elevator and they had a menu that wasn't in English. And apparently, someone got offended and punched a hole in the menu. But I don't know, you know, and then
apparently, but it wasn't me.
Hey, Dean Malenko was like, you son of a. And I was like, he's like, whoever did it, it's got cuts on their knuckles. And I just remember going slowly with my hands up, going, I'm not bleeding.
Yeah.
Well, if it don't fit, you got to quit. I remember I said it could. And the only thing happened when I gave the world's worst, I didn't do it, maybe quite possibly speech, because I know that. John Laurinaitis already knows the answers. So I'm not saying I didn't do it, and I'm not saying I did do it. And I said it could have been quite possibly, but again,
life on the road.
There's no blood on my knuckles, so at the very least, I know I didn't do that.
Right.
And I just remember Cena going to me. No, the best part was then out of nowhere, this is why Trinity will always be will always have my back. She said, I took some alcohol out of my hotel refrigerator and I didn't pay for it. I'm really sorry. And people started coming forward, telling on themselves.
Right.
And then Cena just said to me, hey, that was the worst, greatest speech I ever heard in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just get away from me. So, and then John was like, I walked in there and he goes, how much should I fine you? And I just remember the painting was $5,000. So I said, I don't know, $5,000? And he went, you're taking this seriously, aren't you? Yes, sir. Yeah. So I'm not going to charge you $5,000, damn it. Thanks for being a man about it.
Yeah.
I was like, thanks, man. And then Randy Orton kicks in the door and goes, don't fire him, man. He's got a face. He's just gone through a divorce. Like, leave him alone. He's a good guy. And I was just like, I was good, Randy. Like, what are you doing?
Right.
But it was cool. And I walked out, and then Chris Jericho's with his arms crossed going, good man.
Yeah.
Good whole bar, huh? I was like, I don't, maybe. He's like, all right, man, you're good. But again, we'll never know what happened and what did not
happen. Life on the road, right?
Yeah, never drink on an empty stomach, fellas.
Well, I do know if you do go to the Emmys, we need to get you some Jaeger before the red carpet.
Hell yeah. I can, see
I
that.
Can honestly say I won't even eat black licorice anymore after that. But yeah, no, I would like Eyes Wide Shut for that one. But, you know, for more podcasts like this, just like this, you can check us out at foxnewspodcast.com. This has been the Three Wise Men. Nuff said.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.